tomatoes, they taste so good. Homegrown tomatoes, they taste so good. Homegrown tomatoes, they taste so good. Homegrown tomatoes, they taste so good. Tomatoes, they taste so good. Yeah, homegrown tomatoes. Yeah, George. So good, George.
Homegrown.
Yeah, yeah. Homegrown tomatoes. They taste so
homegrown
good.
Homegrown tomatoes.
Homegrown. They taste so good, so good. Homegrown. They taste mighty, mighty good. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Homegrown tomatoes,
they taste so good. Homegrown tomato. Yes.
It's good.
Welcome back to Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. The iconic jazz legend, legend guitar player George Freeman is my guest tonight. His album, George the Bomb, with special guest Billy Branch, is out. He's playing at Winter's Jazz Club coming up this Friday. George, great to have you here. Thanks so much for coming in and performing.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here with you. I want you to know that.
Thank you. And I think it's the honor's all mine. 92
both
years old.
Both of us, okay?
Both of us. We're both honored, right. 92 years old. You've been playing jazz music in Chicago for so many years.
Right.
When you look back on the latest record, what's different, what's unique about this record as opposed to some of the stuff you've done in the past?
This record here is quite different, Jess. For one thing, it's George the Bomb. And George the Bomb is quite different because it goes back to things that I've been doing all of my life. And my wife named this tune George the Bomb. Because when she first saw me, she thought I was a bomb. And all these years have went by, and she said, oh, she heard George the Bomb. She said, heard me play like that. She said, oh, that's it, George the Bomb. So this entitled George the Bomb.
You have such an eclectic style. You can do pretty much anything. And in this record, you do a lot of blues, and you've always been sort of a swing jazz guitar player. Where does that come from, the idea that you're not just straight-ahead jazz guy, that you could play it all?
I was brought up playing the blues. And in Chicago, you got to be able to play the blues. And I was playing, I heard T-Bone Walker play the blues at the Rum Boogie Cafe. I was a little kid. And he was playing the guitar behind his neck. Well, I wasn't too impressed with that. But I was impressed with him playing the guitar. And he was singing, You Call It Stormy Monday. And that just knocked me out. And then my brother, he brought a radio to the house. And the radio had WMEQ on there, WIND, and WGN. Is it still the same thing?
720, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
720, right?
Yeah, right, right.
I remember that. And I was about 12 years old then.
You have played with so many great jazz legends, and they have played with you. Take us back to some of the clubs. I was thinking about it when I was looking at your bio of a lot of the jazz clubs and places that you've played that are no longer around.
Yeah.
Just thinking, recalling back, do you think as those clubs, like back in the 50s and 60s, that you could go out and every week and play a different jazz and blues club?
Well, that's all gone. I was mostly playing ballrooms. You had a club called the Pershing Ballroom and the Parkway Ballroom. They had clubs at that time, used to give dances. And I worked the clubs with my brother, Vaughn and Bruss. I played mostly ballrooms. That's where I learned to get a big sound at, because at that time, everybody was jitterbugging. And you had to play that hard music to make people dance. And you had one microphone for the whole band. Stan couldn't come there, had one mic. Count Basie come there, one mic. So I played that with Dustin Young. He had one mic. And I played with Coleman Hawkins, Illinois Jacket, Bill Webster, all the cats. And Charlie Parker.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Parker wouldn't go on the bandstand without me. He said, where's George?
To play jazz guitar. For guitar players out there who might play rock and roll or might just do any other kind of music, they recognize how difficult jazz guitar is because it is improvisation. You need to be able to go with where the song is going. How different is that than just regular guitar playing?
It's quite different. It's quite different. First of all, you got to hear it. See, guitar comes in all kind of different. You got guitar with Western style. You got jazz. You got the blues. Guitar comes all kind of ways. But when I was coming in, I was playing strictly bebop. I was a bebop player. And in Chicago, you had to play on the west side and the north side and the south side. So playing on the south side, I managed to play jazz. Then you go to the west side. I went there with Donna Washington, and you had to play the blues. My brother used to tell me, George, I'll be playing the blues. And Vaughn said, don't forget Bird. He wanted me to play the hip jazz.
Right, right, right.
And so I've been playing hip jazz all my life. I haven't been playing blues is one thing, but I've been playing hip jazz all my life. And then when we recorded with Joni and Sparrow, and we had the harmonica player in there, Billy Branch, and Billy wanted me to play hip because he's playing the blues. I don't know. I was with Jimmy McGriff and Alasti Cass. They said, George, you got to play the blues. And so I've been playing the blues all along. So I didn't have no problems playing the blues.
Everyone knows Chicago's music is the blues, but it also is the jazz.
And
I will say, you know, because New York gets a lot of credit for everything with Blue Note and everything that happened in New York City in the 50s and 60s, but Chicago has always been a jazz town.
Chicago swings more than any place in the world. Chicago musicians have always known to be swingers. Because you think about it, all the cats come out of Chicago could swing. Of course, New York City is known for notes. They play notes. And see, I was out there with John Coltrane, all them cats. I was out there with John when John first started playing. He's playing the alto saxophone. And we went through there. I went out on the road with Johnny Griffin in 1947. Went to New York. And Sonny Rollins was there. They was all playing bebop. We left there and went to Philadelphia, and I met all the cats. I met Ben Webster and Fats Navarro and John Coltrane playing alto. All the cats seemed to like me because I was playing hip on the guitar. Well, my brother played saxophone, so therefore I couldn't do nothing else but play hip. And my brother was bringing home this radio with WGN on it. I never will forget it as long as I live. And he put on Benny Goodman and Charlie Christen. And when he put that on, I heard Charlie Christen play, and that was it.
Your family, the Freemans, and your brother Vaughn, you have done so much for Chicago's music community, but you have. And you think back to not only what you have done to create music, but how you have fostered and developed younger talent. I know Vaughn used to do the New Apartment Lounge.
He sure did.
How important was that and is that to jazz and blues musicians to be able to give back to the community?
It's great. It's great. But, you know, when I was coming up, people recognized jazz because they could hear the music. They could hear the sound. They could hear. I'll give you a good example, like Moody's Move for Love. That's just an example. Moody's made a solo, but the cats put lyrics to the solo. And that's what they used to do back then. They could hear the lyrics. They could hear the words. They could hear the melody. And they could hear where he was going. And when I played with Bird, just to mention the fact that they could hear what you was playing.
Yeah.
So it's still going on right now to this very day.
Is it?
Things haven't changed. People still hollering, screaming, and you play. You know, they still want to hear.
You just played the Jazz Festival, and for all accounts, it was a great show, and people loved that you were back there. What does it mean to play in front of a Chicago audience?
I love it. I just love it. First of all, like I said before, you got to get their attention first. When I come out there, I always say, everybody give them... But everybody say, yeah, that's to get their attention. Because if you don't get their attention, they're someplace else.
Yeah.
So everybody say, yeah. I say, hell yeah. And they say, hell yeah. And then I say, let's get started. And I told the drummer, he got to hit up hard. Hit that first tune, bam! And once you get out there and get to going, you're gone. But you got to get their attention, first of all. You can't just come out there on stage and look at the people. Because I found out people can look at you and don't like you.
That's a good point. George, you know, 92 years young, is there a point in your life where you say, okay, I'm going to retire. I'm not going to play music anymore. I'm not going to put out albums. I'm not going to get up on stage. I'm 92. I'm gonna enjoy what I have left.
Well, I tell you the truth, no. No, indeed. Somebody told me the other day that the reason why you're getting popularity is because of your age. I don't think about age. Well, my thing about is playing music. Now, I admit 92 years old is kind of up there.
Well, you, as evidenced tonight in this interview, but also in the performances we've heard on the show, you haven't missed a beat, and we hope for more years of George Freeman. The album is called George the Bomb, Freeman, special guest Billy Branch, playing on Friday at the Winters Jazz Club, which is right here in North Pier. If you haven't been down there, go check it out. It's in the old Dick's Last Resort space. They're playing on Friday night, and George, I can't thank you enough for coming in, talking to us, and playing tonight here on Extension 7.
Jesse, thank you so much. And please come, because I need the money.
Thank you.
Thank you.